What is up, everyone? This is your good friend Patrick O'Dowd, joined once again by his good friend David Ungar, and we are welcoming you into another edition of the Four Corners Podcast here on the Chairshot Radio Network as a part of the Chairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. And Dave, welcome back. I don't know if you got a chance to listen. Tunney did a pretty darn good job filling in for you last week. We had a lot of fun talking sports, talked some college football. We talked some NL and ALCS and heartbreak for the Mariners. Just heartbreak. Thrilling baseball game, but to be nine outs away. And to give up that home run, devastating. Hearts out to the Seattle fans. I really wanted them to make it to the World Series. I wanted to see like the Mariners of years past show up. You know, the Ken Griffey Juniors, the Randy Johnsons, the Jay Buhners, the Alex Rodriguez. For as much as people hate the guy, Alex Rodriguez would have been there. Even Harold Reynolds would have been there for Seattle second baseman Harold Reynolds. There are a lot of great people. Hero just would have been so much fun, and it just sucked. It was too bad. Too bad that they didn't make it. But how was your excursion to the theme parks, man?
It was all right, man. Six Flags was a little subpar this year. It was very crowded the whole time. I mean, just very crowded, which is to be expected. But, you know, they got rid of a few of the mazes, including like the big outdoor one that we really like a lot and our favorite one of all, the Sewer of Souls. They didn't have that. They did step up their game in a few of the places. So like last year, they had a Stranger Things maze that wasn't very good. And this year they switched it over to like some sort of like, I think of Kiss's Psycho Circus, you know, it kind of reminded me of that. And that was good. And I think like one of the mazes that was usually it's pretty average, they really stepped up their game in a few places. So they did bring back a couple things on one of the ones that we really enjoy. So it was the Fright Fest aspect of things was cool. There is a noticeable absence of zombies, people running around trying to scare you and that sort of thing, which I miss that. But, you know, it was okay. It was a decent enough time. It's just too crowded to get on the run.
Right. It's a fascinating jam to me, the Six Flags. Because when I really look back, Six Flags, in my opinion, with Fright Fest was the forerunner to the theme park horror, you know, haunted house thing, because Fright Fest has existed since I was a teenager, you know, and that was 30 years ago. I was, you know, 17, 30 years ago. And so I remember that like the commercials used to be get on the roller coaster and there'd be like a mummy sitting next to you or something and stuff like that. And getting to see that and do that was always a lot of fun. And it then got overtaken. You know, I would argue that Universal Halloween Horror Nights has really kind of become the apex, the top of the horror theme park game, so much so that now they have their own place in Vegas year round that's dedicated to their haunted houses and some of the characters and stuff that they built with that.
They do. Out here, Knott's Berry Farm is something called Knott's Scary Farm.
Yeah, I've heard about Knott's Berry Farm.
We really wanted to do that, but the funny thing is that we actually took advantage of some of our, like our memberships at Six Flags got upgraded, went from like diamond to platinum. And they did that when we didn't stop paying during the pandemic. So we got some perks, used preferred parking for the first time, gamed the system to use a couple skip the line passes for my son. You know, I honestly, I could have gone on some rides, but as you know, I don't know if you guys mentioned it on the shows last week that the car accident I was involved in, I've been very deliberately careful about not, you know, subjecting the body to a lot of undue stress because I really don't know. You know, you really don't know if you're hurt or not.
To be frank, I just don't want to see you on Walt Disney World News today.
No, because I didn't need that. But the thing is that, you know, the merger went through between Six Flags and Cedar Fair. But the passes don't roll over to the Cedar Fair parks, which Knott's Berry Farm is one of them until the beginning of the year. So we're like, man. But like, next year, we're certainly going to take advantage of that whole thing. And I think we might actually do Knott's Merry Farm because I hear that's really good. And Six Flags, Magic Mountain's Holiday in the Park, it's okay. The best part is making s'mores, you know, that sort of thing. But the rest of it's like A lot of lights, man. A lot of lights. But it was a good time. You know, it's always fun. And no more car accidents on the way home. So that's a bonus.
Yeah, excellent. And I we didn't mention it on the show. We didn't bring it up on either Bandwagon Nerds last week or Four Corners. Tony and I, we kind of stuck to business. We just said that you were like, it wasn't why you missed the show. So that's why we didn't bring it up. But I am happy that based on what you said and how that accident is, that you are with us. Like, it sounds like that was a pretty serious accident and that relatively unharmed. Mental scarring is probably going to be there for a while. Trauma is a real thing. So,
you know, man, I went up to Fresno again just on Friday and I came back on that route. So I think I'm over the mental part because I like really analyzed that on-ramp because I've been on that on-ramp so many times. And so I analyzed everything about, you know, how the hell did this really happen? And I've read the crash report. And I'm like, oh, that's how it happened. So yeah, I think mentally I'm okay. But you're right. I got confirmation the car was totaled. It could have been a lot worse. I'm fortunate.
Yes, I'm happy. I'm happy you're well, my friend. Anyway, it was a busy week in sports as we take a look back. College football, this is the best time of year for college football when you start to see the separation between the teams that are going to make the college football playoff and the teams that aren't. For example, my University of Illinois Fighting Illini will not be making the college football playoff. They lost their third game in a game that won. It's an interesting game because Illinois had opportunities to make plays and have some things go their way. I think specifically Washington at the end of the first half, Illinois is up 17-14. They've scored 14 unanswered points on Washington. And quarterback for Washington throws a pass right into the heart of Illinois' zone coverage. And linebacker James Kreutz just drops it. Like, hits it in his hands, he drops it. And now whether he has the speed to get 80 yards for a pick six and really expand Illinois' lead, who knows? It didn't happen. And there were those sorts of things that some fans in punditry could kind of tell themselves, well, they had a chance to be in this game. But ultimately, it was also proven true that Illinois' defense is a sieve. And you need to look no further than the fact that Washington had 8 drives. They scored on 7 of them, and all 7 of them were touchdowns. That is fire your defensive coordinator bad. And there is no way that Illinois' defensive coordinator, Aaron Henry, makes it out of into next year, rationally. If he does, then there's some serious question you have to have for Brett Bielema. So, like, Illinois fell by the wayside. I think Oklahoma took a step towards falling by the wayside as they lost to Ole Miss, who looks a little bit stronger. They leaped Oregon, or they should leap Oregon in the AP poll. I don't know if it's come out yet, but I would wager that will be a thing that will happen. It's always interesting because Oregon just didn't look impressive in their win. They didn't lose. They didn't wow anybody. You know what I mean? And that just kind of sucks. And so we're seeing more and more of that. And that's what is the beauty of college football. Yeah, Oregon won 21-7. And so a bad Wisconsin team that Oregon, like, people probably felt should have been a bigger win. Texas A&M really solidified itself, thumped LSU at home. Brian Kelly's seat has got to be hot, hot, hot. Alabama survived South Carolina. Very, very, you know, another tight game, only won by 7. Miami made sure there was no hangover against Stanford. And probably the other big win, Vanderbilt. Good on Vanderbilt getting the 7-point dub over Missouri, though. I don't know if you watched any of that game. Like, if you're a praying person, pray for Bo Pribula. He took a nasty, nasty hit on a 4th-and-goal, was carted off in a boot, and that's never a good sign. It looked bad on the screen. So, but we're going to talk about the two big stories in sports today. That's going to be college football talk. Let's start with the World Series. As we are recording this podcast, World Series is tied 1-1. The Blue Jays exploded with, I think it was like a 9-run inning highlighted by a grand slam to really break a game open on the Dodgers. Blake Snell just wasn't quite as sharp as he's been. The Blue Jays did what they've been doing all series, working hitters. But that was quickly then evened up by the Dodgers. They got their job done. Yamamoto going, what, seven
whole
innings?
Way.
He went the distance. I turned the game off when LA had expanded their lead. I was actually going to an independent wrestling event. So I know, caught my local indie. Which is
good job, Patrick.
And when I say local, I mean this indie was like 10 minutes from my house and yes, maybe had 100 people in the Pulaski Club's banquet hall upstairs.
So,
good
stuff. So last night we're having like a poker night at the house, right? And I'm sitting there playing it. We just, for, you know, usually we end up with two tables. It was a smaller crowd this time. So it was just one table, but two of the guys, like the husband and wife tandem, actually like split the pot on this whole thing at the end of the night. They're both big Dodger fans. They're watching the game as it's going on. And he's actively saying, you know, he's watching Yamamoto's pitch count. Because the thing about the Dodgers is, yes, they are great, but their bullpen is ass. And you saw that in game one against Toronto. And so they were just like, don't get to the bullpen. Let Yamamoto go the whole way. And they got their wish and they won, because I think had they got to that bullpen, things would have got tighter for the Dodgers, because their bullpen is just not good. But yeah, it's like you and I were texting during game one. And I was like, do you really think the Blue Jays have a chance? And we're both kind of like, maybe one game, something like that. You know, they're a good team. They really are a good team. I don't know. I still don't think they've got what it would require to beat a team like the Dodgers, but who knows?
The thing that's just kind of grossly unfair about this series is that the Dodgers basically had a fourth ace that didn't pitch all season, really, until the playoffs, in one Shohei Ohtani. And oh, by the way, that dude just, you know, goes six innings. In his last start, goes six innings and hits three home runs. I mean, that's Babe Ruth level shit. And that's the problem that the Blue Jays are facing, is they're going to have to work every at-bat to get to this bullpen, as you talked about, because the Dodgers, their starting pitching is ridiculous. And I can't, who's on the bump for game three? Have they announced that yet for the Dodgers? I was just on MLB.
I'll look it up for you.
Yeah. But... Shit. You know, and Ohtani's going to be one of those pitchers. Like, you're going to have to face Ohtani too. So it's a murderer's row of pitching to harken back to the 1920 Yankees, where, you know, you had Gehrig and Ruth and all those dudes. This is another murderer's row, but on the pitching side of things. And you know, there's no break. There's no, like when the Cardinals made their World Series back in the day, there's no Jeff Supan waiting to pitch at
some
point.
So the probable pitchers for game three, Max Scherzer, who I know personally,
everybody.
Yeah, we did, me and Max. No, I've seen how he can pitch in the World Series. So if you're Toronto and you got Max going up there, you got to feel pretty good. The Dodgers are going to throw Tyler Glasnow out there, who is obviously no slouch either. So right.
It's just, I want to have four number one starters. I want four top of the rotation guys to just be my starting rotation. I want to be able to play and run a Major League Baseball team like I'm in franchise mode with no limitations on MLB The Show.
I mean, think about this for game three. Scherzer all, in the playoffs.
All trades are allowed, you know, the whole deal.
No salary cap. Right. Scherzer's gone 5 2/3 innings in the playoffs, 1-0 ERA of 3.18. Glasnow has amazingly pitched 13.1 innings, is 0-0, which tells you all you need to know about the Dodgers bullpen, with a 0.68 ERA.
That's, yeah.
Good luck, bro.
Man, it's insane to me. But I think that by the time we are recording this podcast a week from today, it's, you know, as we're recording here on a Sunday, I would not be surprised in the least if we are looking at talking about yet another Dodger World Series champion. Now, in order for that to happen, they got to sweep their three games at home, but they can sweep their three games at home.
If you're Toronto right now, you're just looking to win one.
Yeah, you got to get it back to Toronto and get it back to that home crowd. Replicate
what you did against Seattle. Get back to Toronto, down 3-2. You can go out, if you can go back up 3-2, even better, but that's probably not going to happen. But
right.
Get home.
But you got to get one.
Game seven. force a game seven, and then all bets are off at that point.
Yeah,
so,
you absolutely got to steal a game. And then, yeah, it's like you said, when you get to game seven, I love it. Here's the problem. I don't want to face the Dodgers in a game seven because they're just going to go full. Like whoever started game six is off the table, but you're going to face 6 to 7 innings of that top of the rotation. And hell, yeah. You may, if they're dominant, 3-3-3, you won't even have a closer. Like, it's a tall, tall task. And then you've got that offense, which just wears you down. I hate, like, I appreciate Mookie Betts. I wish he was on my team. The way he wears down pitchers. And so many, it's hilarious because Red Sox fans like to blame Heim Bloom for getting rid of Mookie Betts, conveniently ignoring that ownership said, get rid of Mookie Betts. That's why he got there, is Boston's ownership said, we don't want to pay for Mookie Betts. And then they fired him for it. It's like, you got rid of Mookie Betts. And he was like, you told me to. So anyway, hey, I'm pleasantly surprised by how the playoffs have been. I've enjoyed them. The sweep of the Brewers notwithstanding, where they just couldn't score at all. I think that even if the Dodgers do win these three games, they are going to be exciting, tight games. I don't think we're going to get another blowout. I just don't see that happening. And so, you know, I'm all for it, and I can't wait to be there. All right. So we're going to take our first commercial break, Dave, and then I need you to get your lawyer hat on because we're going to be talking about some legal stuff, and it's going to be fun. So stay tuned for that. Lawyer Dave going to step outside of his sports comfort zone. I don't know what kind of law. What kind of law do you practice, bro?
I am a workers' compensation attorney, so I don't think it's going to bear a lot on what
we're talking about. This is totally
relevant,
but we're going to – he had to pass the bar anyway, folks. We're going to have some fun talking about it. Because
there you go.
Let's talk about scandals rocking sports when we come back. Stick around. You're listening to the Four Corners Podcast here on the ChairShot Radio Network on thechairshot.com.
Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Four Corners Podcast here on the ChairShot Radio Network, a part of thechairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. ProWrestlingTees.com/thechairshot for all of your chair shot swag needs. Dave has got the pen and paper out, not because he's taking notes, but because he has to mark the timestamp for commercials. The commercial you just heard, what's that?
I don't even have to. I don't have to. With Riverside, it's all like, it just inserted on a text base. You look at the transcript and say, oh, there's where the commercial break is.
Four Corners Podcast, not brought to you by Riverside Platform. But we have found a lot of success using it. It's been a good time. And
I wonder if they do a sponsorship. We should talk to them about that.
We should. You know, we need some dollar bills. We need to tighten this up. I mean, you got the Four Corners background going. You're doing the podcaster Lord's work, Dave, that I am not doing.
Let's
do a little bit more work because it was a peaceful Thursday. It was a Thursday when the story broke. And here's the thing. The NBA season started. So you're like, oh, yay, basketball's back. Woo! People are playing games. I put out a funny meme of LeBron James doing the ceremonial flop and complain to start the season and all of that. But then this story breaks about a major set of arrests that are happening to several NBA players, including a couple of prominent ones, revolving around illegal gambling, most of it seeming to be connected to a, according to rumor and innuendo, speculation, all of that. So I want to say allegedly is the word of the day, right, Dave? Allegedly is the word of the day. But that this was a major FBI sting of a mafia-run poker ring, tons of cheating taking place. The most prominent name to immediately come out of this when the arrest took place was the head coach of, where was he the head coach? He's not anymore.
Portland Trailblazers.
Portland Trailblazers, Chauncey Billups, was arrested. And then the other major arrest was Terry Rozier, which also seems to be connected to some allegedly game fixing, where people are looking at some game, like a game where he left due to an ankle injury. People are combing over footage, watching all these games where Terry Rozier was terrible and adding some question. And this is also one of those fuel to the fire things, because there are several folks that think professional sports are rigged for gambling purposes. And, you know, I hear it in the NFL all the time, like, though that seems to often be more about ratings than cheating or than gambling, like the Chiefs must always win, so we must rig the game for the Chiefs, which there is a study out there that has shown that the Chiefs do get more calls. I think that's more human nature and less influence from the league necessarily. I think I used to argue that all the time with Michael Jordan.
Be better disciplined and you won't get penalized as much. The Chiefs are a better disciplined team. That's
the star treatment thing, though, is a real thing. It's real with LeBron James. It was real with Michael Jordan. And what I always find funny is those athletes act like they never committed a foul in their life. No. How? Or I get fouled all the time. Oh, this is unfair. Anyway, this Terry Rozier thing, though, very much has thrown logs onto the NBA is rigged fire. And the thing about the NBA, like, I can't stand watching NBA basketball. I don't enjoy it nearly as much. And I think it's because I grew up in the 80s and watching, like, the Detroit Pistons punch people and it be legal. And, like, that was okay. Or the Celtics and the Lakers. The game was a much more physical and admittedly slower game than what it is today, where there's a lot of freedom of movement. The NBA wants to encourage offense. And just about every sport, that's the way the game has trended. It's the same thing in football, in professional football. As much as you hate that you can't sneeze on a quarterback anymore without it being a penalty, there is a reason for that. It's because money is made when teams score. People don't enjoy defensive, like, sickos enjoy defensive struggles. Casual fans or fans looking for a fun game, they don't enjoy a defense, you know, a defensive struggle. So this two-pronged story is going on now. Other names that have been connected, allegedly Kevin Garnett's name has popped up in this. Something like 30 some arrests are either going to be made or have been made. This is huge, and Adam Silver, it's under his watch. And so I guess I'll start there. What responsibility, if any, does Adam Silver have to the behavior of players outside of the arena of the NBA?
Well, I mean, he is the commissioner, so he is, you know, and it's probably not legally speaking accurate, but, you know, you look at it from the standpoint of like a trustee or anything where somebody has like a fiduciary responsibility, you know. I'm not saying that that's what Adam Silver has, but he is the steward. Like the steward of Gondor, he's the steward of the NBA. So, you know, if you have rampant gambling going on, and this is where a lot of, like, the people, a lot of the critics of online gaming are coming to the forefront saying, see, we told you so. This is what's happening, you know, because this is not like the Pete Rose situation. I mean, this is all being done in back alleys, you know, mafia run poker games. You know, online gambling is kind of like really the motivating aspect of this thing. But to get back to your question, yeah, you got to look at any time something like this happens that is suspectedly widespread as this is, you got the FBI, you know, sitting there breathing down your neck saying, this thing permeates your entire league. You have now gotten to the point where, you know, who was that referee that got banned from the NBA for all that gambling? I mean, Donnie. He's even come out and said, he's come out and said, see, I told you there's a problem here. So he's like saying, I told you there's a problem here. It wasn't just me. But yeah, when you've got an entire sport that is as popular as the NBA that's implicated in something as widespread as this, then you got to start asking questions and saying, okay, well, what is real? Is this as fabricated as the WWE is? You know, what's really happening? Are these, you know, I know Tony Shea run the videos. You look at some of the stuff that Rozier in these games and the things that he did.
Yeah, it's terrible.
And you're like, wait a second. You know, that is clearly like you're throwing it to the other team. you're not even trying. And I, you know, and this starts to bleed, like you're saying, it bleeds over into other sports. I read something that one of the SEC referees has been suspended for the year because of shit that went down in the Auburn-Georgia
game. An entire crew is now suspended from the SEC because of horrible calls.
And you ask yourself, is it a horrible call or is there something else going on here?
Well, and fans have done this for ages, you know, using your college football description. Illinois, in the USC victory, there were like two or three just non-calls by a referee where it seemed pretty obvious that there was pass interference taking place by the USC cornerback, just to have my orange colored glass on. Nothing called. Just hand in the pocket, nothing called. And is it inexperience? Is it bad officiating? Is it something else? Who knows? And that's the problem, is that this is why gambling's been so problematic. And I do think it's interesting, the because sports is now so in bed with the sports books, whether it's FanDuel, DraftKings, like they basically run ESPN. They run every, like, my favorite podcast is the Cover 3 podcast by CBS when it comes to college football. And every Thursday, they do a locks episode that is nothing but gambling, various point spreads, team totals, all of that. And that whole episode is dedicated to gambling against those games. And within that episode, they actually have a contest for their listeners to do gambling and to get in a leaderboard based on bets that you make. You make five bets and your record on those bets puts you in a position. So when you're that in deep, it makes it really hard to be like, whoa. And to be clear, you know, a mafia run poker ring, if that's what it is not FanDuel, is not DraftKings. That point shaving, that, you know, alleged poor play faking injury business is absolutely going to raise questions on the DraftKings, FanDuels of the world, MGM Sportsbook, like all of them, because those will in fact influence point spreads, will influence victories, will influence parlays. Like, it will absolutely do that. But the genie's out of the bottle. Like, it's never going back in.
Let's take it a step further, because I think a lot of people have just assumed that the mafia and organized crime went away with Goodfellas and The Godfather.
Oh,
it never really did. It never did. And maybe it's not as, you know, in your face as it was in like the 70s or the 50s, 40s, 50s. People are, you know, there's not gangland slayings going on or maybe there are. And it's just, you know, it's just covered by all the white noise of everything else going on in the world. But I mean, you've got a mafia tie to this whole situation, and they have historically had their fingers into sports and gambling. I mean, that's the big racket, gambling, right? Theft, robbery, murder. So the fact that it seems like, well, the mafia is only tangentially involved in this, are they? You know, and you start to ask questions about, well, just how involved are they?
I'm not ready to go into that, because who knows what bookies are like. A bookie is different. Who knows? I don't want to go that far. I'm sure we'll learn more as the story goes on. But this is a mess for the NBA. Yeah. This is not good. And I guarantee you, this is not the last time we will be talking about this on the Four Corners podcast. It is, however, the last time we're going to talk about it today, because we have come up against it, Dave, just like that. Just a neat and tidy, quick podcast. So, you know, next week, probably talking World Series champs. Maybe we're talking Ovechkin getting his 900th goal. Who knows? We'll see what happens. It'll be a lot of fun. But this gambling story ain't going away either. But we're about to go away. So before we do, tell everybody how they can find you out there on the social medias and on the Chair Shot Radio Network.
Yeah, you can find me on X and Blue Sky at Attitude Ag. That is at Attitude AGG on Facebook.com/Attitude of Aggression and Attitude of Aggression, all one word, over on Instagram and on Threads. And of course, go to the website, AttitudeOfAggression.com.
And you can follow me on all of the socials at Wrestling Realist. That is at WRESTLNG. REALIST, and catch me every Monday, Tuesday, and Dave, three Wednesdays in a row, we have hit the Greg DeMarco show, if you can believe it.
God, that's a streak.
Miracle. It is a
hell of
a streak.
It's a streak.
And,
yeah.
And you, that is where you can find me Mondays, talking nerdy stuff with Dave and PC Tony. Tuesdays, talking sports, usually with just Dave. And Wednesdays, talking, occasional Wednesdays, talking wrestling with Greg DeMarco. That's going to do it for this week's edition of the Four Corners Podcast. And thank you, everyone, for listening. We will catch you next Tuesday with more on the world of all four corners of sports. This has been the Four Corners Podcast, part of the Chair Shot Radio Network here on thechairshot.com.